You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Azania Mosaka
on 702.
15 minutes to 2 o'clock, and let's look at digital migration, a commitment that South Africa made back in 2006. We consented to the International Telecommunications Union. We agreed, and we became one of the countries that would migrate from analog television to digital television by June of 2015. But, of course, this has not taken place. Now, the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies has been at pains to give us updates or to say that it has been happening. And the president then, in his State of the Nation address earlier this year, said that it would take place, would be completed by the 31st of March, 2022. So we join William Bird, the director at Media Monitoring Africa, for their perspective on the process that's been underway, considering that we are marching closer and closer to the 31st of October, which is yet another deadline for applications for assistance from government. And also the Free State will be the first, in fact, to be completely switched off. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. A pleasure to have you on the show again.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yes, I was just talking about the announcement that was made by the president that digital migration would be completed by March 31st of next year. After bungling the process, do you think the government is on track to achieving it this time, moving us over by this deadline this time around?
Well, they might do it, but they might also violate millions of people's rights if they choose to adhere to that deadline. So, you know, the reality is that still, because of the bungling, because of the fact that we haven't seen transition to digital at anywhere near that kind of pace that we needed to, it means that if they do switch off the digital signal, you'll have millions of people who won't have access to media. They won't have access to television, and many of them won't have access to radio. So it's quite an extraordinary decision by government. We know that certainly in the case of ETV, I think it's something like 60% of their audience rely on free-to-air, so that means they're relying on the old analog signal. And so if you go ahead and just cut them off, it'll be an absolute disaster, let alone all of the issues and other millions of people who then rely on SABC services for their news and information. So, you know, it's a good thing that government is finally seeing the kind of urgency of this particular process. But unfortunately, I suspect that there are going to be a number of challenges to implementing this. And I think that the reality is that there's just no way that it can happen without millions of people being denied the right to receive information.
And obviously there's a threat to these media companies as well. E-Media Holdings, the owners of ETV, is going to court to try and force a delay in the cut-off date. So the potential threat that broadcasters face, I know as you say that people will be denied access to information, but this is likely to also produce quite a blow to the broadcasters.
Well, I mean, if you take ETV's the figures that I just quoted, 60%, and you suddenly take away 60% of your audience, advertisers are going to say to ETV, well, hang on a minute, who are you actually broadcasting to? So let alone the millions of people whose rights are fundamentally denied, you then have a scenario that will pretty much almost certainly destroy ETV, let alone then, as I said, the other impact of what happens with SABC TV channels and the millions of people that then rely on that. So you've got a scenario where, you know, again, we see the urgency, we know there's an urgency, but it's not like this is being dealt with in a coherent way. You know, again, we've got ICASA being taken to court. You know, we've seen that particular process around spectrum, the auction of spectrum, being bungled any number of occasions, you know, and it's not to say this is an easy thing. It's not like ICASA has got an easy task there, but we do know that you know, this is not an isolated thing where it's just like, oh, well, whoops, we forgot to hand out those boxes. Mm-hmm. So you've got a number of challenges. You've got an international shortage, as I understand it, of the chipsets that you need in order to roll out some of these things. So even if they could, in the best case scenario, get the boxes into the hands of people, there aren't enough boxes to actually get into the hands of people. Those industries that we talk about people getting access to, that hasn't happened. You know, so it really is a big and very complicated mess.
No, it absolutely is. And to think that some of these boxes are sitting with the post office, what about their warranty, for instance, because of these delays, because of some of the cases that have happened and just how inefficient government has been in this particular transition, minister after minister. And we'll have to wait to see whether Nkubuzo Ntshavheni in this particular role is able to move it forward far better than her predecessors and hopefully without imploding those landmines that are in her way because of the bungling historically. But when we talk about the opportunities, there's also an opportunity cost to the country from having delayed as long as we have. I mean, this has been promised to be something that will stimulate the golden economy, the creative economy, that it will allow us to access the benefits of 5G fully, and that it will connect communities that have struggled to connect or that haven't been, it will increase connectivity in far-flung places. Let's talk about that, the opportunity cost that this government has and how they've achieved an own goal in that regard.
You know, the single biggest thing that they could have done as government is made sure that they provide fast, cheap, reliable access to broadband for every single person in this country. You know, if we'd been focusing on that for the last 15 years, we would be in a fundamentally different place to where we are now, you know. Now, you know, with this freeing up of the spectrum, if this had been done 10, 15 years ago, we would be in a fundamentally different place as a country. You know, this kind of debate of having to say, well, should we be taking government to the Constitutional Court for violating the rights of millions if they cut off the signal? You know, that wouldn't be a debate. We wouldn't have to worry about that kind of thing. But because of this bungling, now those are the kind of very real things, which means that the opportunity cost is going to be that much greater. So you're not only now talking about, you know, ETV in reality, the SABC, I don't think they'll be able to take legal action, but certainly ETV, they shouldn't be focusing on trying to take legal action for this. They should be doing what they should be doing, making content available on different platforms. And people should be saying, well, how do we get the best local content? What are the ways that we can produce and stimulate our local content economy even more? And how do we deal with the threats around Netflix, et cetera, and how do we make sure that our mobile providers are the best in on the continent, et cetera? And instead of that, we're still arguing about spectrum. So every single kind of argument that we're having now and the kind of desperation that we're seeing is just compounding that opportunity cost. And in fairness to this minister, I mean, you know, she's brand new in the place. And look, she's got to be urgent about this because this is way overdue. The trouble is that you just can't say, well, by next year we'll have it done, when, you know, our government has not demonstrated the ability to get that kind of thing done in that sort of space of time.
And sadly, the reliance is on other providers like OpenView or MultiChoice, or even that many would have acquired these smart TVs, and so that reduces the work that government has to do. But there are even disputes about the actual numbers, because the BRC is accusing government of undercounting. And government is saying that they're relying on figures from Stats SA to determine how many indigent families, those that earn less than 3,500, that would need assistance with these set-top boxes. So with this particular side of the argument, are you confident that vulnerable households will be reached and that we have a handle on where the need is?
No, is the short answer again, you know, because even if you take that best case scenario and they've managed to start rolling out those 600,000, ignoring that their warranty has expired, you're handing out old equipment to the poorest of the poor and the most vulnerable. And what you start to do there is you start to make free-to-air services effectively something that is only there for the poor. It's another way of deepening that digital divide, and it kind of marginalizes programming and access to information for poor people. So that in and of itself is going to be another challenge, whereas what you want to do is use this opportunity to kind of start to level that digital divide, make sure that whoever you are, irrespective of your income and your family circumstance, you can have access to the same kind of things and programming, quality programming, news and information as people that earn 1,000 times more than you. And that's, you know, it shouldn't be that just because you're poor, you don't have access to that. That is fundamentally unacceptable, and you know it should be fundamentally unacceptable in South Africa. So you've got to say, well, how do we use this opportunity to do that? Which again is a problem with handing out, you know, decades old now technology to the poor and saying, okay, well, here you go. At least you've got something, so you'll receive these kinds of things. The medium term impact of that means that in 5 years' time, we'll be talking about, well, how do we get out of this quagmire that we're in now, where the free-to-air services have been, you know, marginalized because of the fact that they're seen as something that are only there for the poor.
No, it's an absolute blight. I mean, we've had several controversies over the years, but a delay in implementation of this time period, of this kind of time frame, is just ridiculous, especially when you think of the need that is there in South Africa. So the cutoff is the 31st of October for places for the Free State. Those that the cutoff for this analog signal is on the 31st, and also applications for indigent households, which I think they shouldn't have a cutoff for, in fact, because have you done enough to reach all households and make them aware that they need to apply and contact the post office? That in itself, I think, is a problematic notion. Are you? Is there a possibility of legal action? You kind of mentioned earlier that there's a potential already brewing for legal action against the state.
Yep, there's no doubt. You know, I know that we're also consulting it with our legal teams about what kind of response is appropriate in this current circumstance. So, you know, it really isn't the preferred choice. You know, you want to be able to work with government to make sure that these things happen. And in fairness to government, a lot of the messes and a huge amount of the delays have been about corruption. They've been about competing interests within big industry. They've been about, you know, there's a lot of, you go back in time to where a lot of these things started, and around the whole set-top box control fiasco. That's where many of these delays occurred. So this isn't just like a problem only of governments making. What we're seeing now, though, however, is government in its rush to kind of actually get something done is creating a whole range more problems that is going to leave us in an even worse situation, unfortunately.
Well, we'll stay close to these developments, and we'll stay updated with what it is that organizations such as yours end up doing in this regard and representing the interests of the public. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Azalia.
Thank you. That's William Bird, Director at Media Monitoring Africa. The 31st is inching closer and closer, and we'll wait to see how matters play out in the Free State. Other provinces are due to follow suit after that. The cutoffs will happen in other provinces after that. And when that cutoff happens, you need to be digitally enabled, whether through the TV that you have or through the set-top box that you have purchased or that's been provided if you have applied to the state.